He's completely made up, but there you go. A boy called James. Okay, now James is mad on football. He really wants to be a footballer. He's 10 years old. He's really keen. He's eager to be a footballer. He has got all the gear. His room is kitted out with all of his favourite football club's kit. That's created a strong reaction. Some are delighted, some are not going to listen to a word I say from now on. I've written it off, Chelsea, no, not going to listen. He's got all the gear, all right? He's got all the Chelsea gear, loves Chelsea, knows all the players in the team, goes to see the matches as often as he can, as often as his dad will take him. He loves football. He's got all the books about football. He's got books about how you play football. He watches as much as he can. Every Christmas and birthday, he gets more football stuff. And somehow, every mealtime with his family, somehow the conversation always seems to get round to football. He loves it. But he's not actually a footballer. Because there's something really important missing. To be a footballer, you've actually got to go out and kick footballs. Or if you're a goalie, use your hand. But you've got to go and play football. It's no good just having the gear or having your room kitted out with all the Chelsea football stuff. It's no good having the books and knowing all the information about football. To be a footballer, you've got to play football. You've got to be on the team. You've got to get on the pitch to be a footballer. I think some people, in fact, I know some people get this wrong about Christianity. Now, Pathfinders, are you listening? Adults, are you listening? Children, are you listening? We can know a lot about Christianity. We can know a lot about the Bible. We can know a lot about Jesus. We can know what Christians should believe and Christians should do. We can even want to do it. But unless we're living for Jesus day by day, putting it into practice, as Andy said, unless we're actually doing it, we're not actually on the pitch yet. Not actually Christians. We're going to look at a passage which helps us to see how you get on the team and how you get on the pitch. To be a footballer, you've got to kick footballs. To be a Christian, you've got to live for Jesus day by day. We're going to find out more about that in our reading. Colin, I'm going to hand over to you.
So James and Oliver, if you could come up, it would be great. Thank you for bringing our reading to us. Okay, before you do that, let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have given us your word to hear and to understand. As James and Oliver read this passage to us, please open our ears and hearts. Help us to understand it. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our reading this morning is taken from the Apostle Paul's letter to his friend Titus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. This can be found on page 1199 of the Church Bibles. Titus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11.
For the grace of God, which that brings salvation, has appeared to all men.
It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, so you need that passage open in front of you. Pathfinders, you need it open in front of you. Page 1199. Okay, so to be a footballer, you've got to play football. You've got to get out on the pitch. You've got to be on the team, get on the and get on the pitch. Okay, what about being a Christian? We're going to think about two things, like we've said, from those verses. So you're going to need the verses from Titus open in front of you. First, what it takes to get onto Jesus' team. This is really important that we know this first. What it takes to get on Jesus' team. Generally, when you're picking a team for a sport, maybe this brings back horrible memories for you. Maybe you were the kind of person who you were always picked last, and it was horrible. Or maybe you love thinking back about that because you were always the one who was picked first. Generally, for a football team, if you're thinking about your mates and you're thinking, well, who would you pick for your team? What you should do is you should think, well, let's get the best players. Let's get the fittest, fastest, most skillful people. We'll get them on the team. That's what you would do for a football team. How do you get on Jesus' team? Okay, we need to look at verse 11. So you need to look at verse 11. And I'm going to put it on the screen, but you need to have it open in front of you as well. Verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Okay, now that verse tells us how to get onto the team. Okay, look at the verse and see what brings salvation in that verse. Have a look. You're going to have a look. What brings salvation? Okay, can someone spot what it is? What brings salvation? Go for it. Yeah, Ella? The grace of God. Thank you very much. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So now we need to think, okay, what is grace? Now you may know from a song that we sing here fairly frequently, grace is... Thank you. And some were even singing it. Grace is when God gives us the things we don't deserve. It's a helpful definition of grace. It's God giving to us good things we don't deserve. In fact, we deserve the opposite. In other words, grace means a gift. Okay, very important. Maybe you think, okay, yeah, we've heard about this last year when we thought about we're saved by grace alone. Grace is a gift to us. So Paul is saying in the verses, for the grace of God that brings salvation. Salvation, being saved, is a gift from God. He offers it to us for free. So it's not that God lines up the whole of humanity and says, I will pick the fittest, the fastest, or the funniest. He doesn't pick the best, the good people, as opposed to the really bad people. He says, being saved, getting on Jesus' team, is a gift. But it cost God a lot. Look down to verse 14. You're going to need to look at the last one of the verses that was read. It's coming up on the screen as well. What did Jesus give? What did Jesus give according to verse 14? This is the cost. What did Jesus give? Have a look. Let's have an adult this time. Someone further back. What did Jesus give? Want to shout it out? Himself. Thank you very much. So, he gave himself. When he died on the cross, the verse is saying, that is Jesus giving himself. What does it achieve? It achieves, he redeems us. Now, redeems is he paying a price so that we could be on his team. He had to pay the price to redeem us from wickedness, the verse says, to get us onto his team. The price was himself. Okay, quiz about football. I don't know much about football, but I've got Google, so I can look it up. The most valuable player in the world? Hands up if you know who the most valuable player in the world is. Who's the most valuable player in the world according to my research on Google? Mr. Goodall. It's not Mr. Goodall. That would be brilliant, though, wouldn't it? That would be good. Go on, then. Neymar! That's what I found as well. So I'm pleased at that. Okay, Neymar. There he is. Was transferred last year for an eye-watering 198 million pounds. I mean, I have no frame of reference for that. I mean, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? 198 million pounds. You know, that is not the greatest transfer fee ever. That is not the greatest transfer fee ever. Shall I tell you the greatest transfer fee ever? You. You. According to that verse, it's you if you're a Christian. Because the greatest transfer fee ever was Jesus' life. That is far more valuable than 198 million pounds. Jesus gave his life to redeem us, pay the price, to redeem us from wickedness. So that what? Again, look in the verse. Okay, it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, his own team. He bought you with his blood, with his life, so that you could be a part of his team, his people. That's why he gave his life. To clean us up from wickedness and to make us his. So, what it takes to get on Jesus' team. Notice, from those verses, from verse 12 and verse 14, verse 11 and verse 14, sorry. Verse 11 and verse 14, what does it take? Jesus has done it all. It's all about him. He has paid the price of his own life to redeem us from wickedness, to purify us, to make us into his team. It is not about you and me. It's not that God looks for the biggest, the best, the strongest, the fittest, the funniest, the best, the most morally good, the most religious. He doesn't look for that. He says it is a gift. If you want to be on his team, he has paid the price. He has done all that is needed so that you and I could be on his team. So here's the question. Are you on Jesus' team yet? Don't try and live for Jesus until you're on his team. And to get on his team, you've got to accept the gift. Accept what Jesus has done for us. See, we're not all just naturally on God's team, on Jesus' team. It's not that everyone is on the team. No, but Jesus does offer it to anyone. Because it does say at the beginning of verse 11, or in verse 11, sorry, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In other words, all kinds of people. That includes you and me, young and old, whoever we are. God says, it's a gift. Are you going to take it? So that's getting onto the team. And in a moment, we're going to think about how you get onto the pitch. But we're going to sing first. Sing about God's grace. And so the song we're going to sing is about God's incredible grace to us. And when the music groups start up and when the words come up on the screen, let's stand and sing of God's amazing grace. Okay, and you're going to need to open up your Bibles again to Titus chapter 2, page 1199. Okay, we've thought about what it takes to get onto the team, and we've seen Jesus has done all the work. He's done all that's needed. It is a gift to us at the cost of his life. He does the redeeming, the paying the price, the transfer fee. Okay, that's getting onto the team. What about getting onto the pitch? How do you get onto the pitch? As those who are on Jesus' team, we need to get out onto the pitch. In other words, get out there day by day, at school, college, at work, in your family, in your street, at home. We need to be living day by day for Jesus. And Paul says in these verses that means stopping some things and starting some things. There's stop and there's start. So first off, stop. Now, if you're going to be a top footballer, what things have you got to stop doing? Maybe things you eat or lifestyle things. What have you got to stop doing if you're going to be a top footballer? Hand up, go for it. What do you reckon? Stop eating junk food. Good call. Stop eating too many donuts. Ken, from your very experience, you are one of the top, you know, footballers. Great transfer fee. Drinking large amounts of alcohol. Yeah, you've got to stop doing that. It's good to stop doing that anyway. But yeah, you've got to stop doing that if you're going to be a top footballer. Anything else? Smoking. Yeah. Sugar. Yeah, all those kind of... There are things you've got to stop doing, aren't there? If you're going to be a top athlete, you've got to stop doing some things. Paul's saying if you're going to live for Jesus, there are some things you've got to stop doing. So have a look at verse 12. And Paul tells us what are the things that we've got to stop doing. Again, it's up on the screen as well. What does Paul say you've got to say no to? You've got to stop doing. If you're on Jesus' team, what have you got to stop doing? Ungodliness. Thank you. Well done. And what's the second thing? Worldly passions. Thank you very much. So, Paul says, it, that's the grace of God that brings salvation, that has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So there are some things Paul is saying we've got to say no to. Worldly passions, Paul includes in there. In other words, they are things we love doing, but are against what God says. They're kind of passions. They're things where you go, they just sort of come out, they just sort of happen, and you go, they would be there, but actually God says don't do them. So things like anger. Maybe you get angry at things, and you go, and you feel it welling up inside you, and you just go, I'm just going to let it go. Or lust, or lying, or greed. Those are things which just sort of, they creep up inside, and we often just let them go. They just happen. Like a roller coaster sort of thing, it's out of control, it just sort of zooms, and you just let it go, and it just happens. Okay, pathfinders, adults. How do we know what those things are that we've got to stop? It's not all instincts. The way we know is through the Bible. Okay, the Bible tells us what are the things we've got to stop doing. Pathfinders, children, adults. Are there things that you know already that the Bible says you need to stop doing that you haven't stopped yet? We've got to stop doing them, haven't we? It's hard, because those things are often instincts, they're often sort of things that come up and we just go, well, I normally just let it go. Actually, we've got to say no to them, because we're on Jesus' team. And being on Jesus' team and getting out onto the pitch means saying, I'm going to stop doing some things. Are there things you need to stop? I need to ask myself that as well. So we need to stop some things, and then we need to start some things. Okay, if you're going to be a top footballer, what have you got to start doing? Yes, Layla. Training every day. What else? Come on, let's have some more things. What have you got to start doing? Start stopping. That's deep. That's very good. Yes, start stopping the things you shouldn't be doing. Yes, well done, Pips. What have you got? Being kind to each other. And that would be a good thing for as Christians. Well done. Those on Jesus' team, we've got to do those. Jonathan at the back. Fitness, yes. Training, yes. Layla, what else? Teamwork, you've got to work together with others. Okay, there are going to be lots of things. You've got to start. Yeah, go on then. Stop eating. Stop eating the wrong things. Stop eating the wrong things and start eating the right things. Yeah. That's well done. Yeah, you've got to be careful what you eat, haven't you? Well done. Yeah, that's good. Okay, what does Paul say we've got to do in the verse? Verse 12, what are the ways that we've got to live? How have we got to live? Verse 12, you can have a look in your Bibles, look up on the screen. How does Paul say we've got to live? What does it say? I know it's very obvious. Someone say it for us. Thank you, James. Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Self-controlled, upright, godly life. So you stop worldly passions and ungodliness and start self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Now, do you see how actually the one is the opposite of the other? Do you see that? So whereas you've got to stop worldly passions, which are just some of the things which just come up inside you and you go, it's like that roller coaster train that just sort of whoosh, off it goes. You've got to say, actually, you've got to stop them. And you've got to start with self-control, controlling yourself. So it's not a case of just go with your flow, go with your feelings. It's saying, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live a godly life. And therefore, I'm going to train myself to do that. Being on Jesus' team means saying, I'm going to stop some things, start other things. I'm going to live for Jesus day by day. Now, again, how do you know what the godly life is? It's in the Bible. We've got to learn from the Bible. So, stop and start. Stop worldly passions. Start living for Jesus day by day. Godly life, self-control. Pathfinders, grown-ups, all of us. Be aware this is a lifelong task. When it says in verse 12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. The word teaches there is also translated trains, as in ongoing training. This is an ongoing, lifelong training of stopping something, starting other things. Stopping worldly passions, starting self-control, living for God day by day. We often make a mess of it. Okay, we're not saying we're going to be perfect at this. We often fall down. We often make a mistake. But failures can be dealt with. Failure can be dealt with because that's how Jesus got you onto his team. He got you onto his team by giving his life, paying the price to purify you, to get you onto his team. It wasn't about how good you were in the first place. So we rejoice. When we've made a mess of things, we're sad at the mess we've made, but we rejoice at the fact that we're still on Jesus' team because that is a gift. It is by grace. So we rejoice in that, but we've still got to be thinking, I'm going to live for Jesus wholeheartedly, 100% this week, every day. So every time you look at the Bible, Pathfinders, every time you're out there and you're looking at the Bible, every time at home you're looking at the old Bible, day by day, adults, every time we're looking at the Bible, we need to ask, so what? I want you to do this ruthlessly. Like Andy was saying, he encouraged the Pathfinders to do. And the other leaders have done. Pathfinder leaders, don't let the Pathfinders off with just going, oh, they've given the right answer. Keep asking, so what? What difference is this actually going to make day by day? Keep asking that. So, for instance, Pathfinders, you know you need to read your Bibles day by day. There's a challenge often, isn't there, to say we've got to keep reading our Bibles. Adults, you know that, don't you? I know that. Okay, it's not enough just to know that. We're not on the pitch by knowing that. We get on the pitch by saying, right, so this week, each day, I'm going to try to read my Bible, maybe for 5 minutes each day. That means I've got to set my alarm 5 minutes earlier. The setting the alarm 5 minutes earlier is being on the pitch. It's saying this is going to make a difference this week. Praying. You know you should pray for people, don't you? We hear, we've got to pray. Knowing that and even feeling, yeah, I should pray for my family. That's not being a Christian. Being a Christian is saying, right, so this week I'm going to do it. Before I do my homework, I'm going to spend a few minutes just praying for my family, maybe. Or whatever it is. You just got to think, okay, so what's it actually going to be? Or talking to friends about Jesus. You say, well, yeah, I know we should do that. But actually, what's that going to mean this week? So what? What are you going to do? You go, okay, well, then this week I'm going to pray for opportunities, maybe, to talk to my friends about Jesus. And when they come up, I'm going to try and take them. End of the week, you get to the end of the week, and you might feel, you know what, this last week, I had all those desires, that sort of things where I was going to do this, I was going to try and that, and actually I look back on the week and I go, actually I made a mess of it. I wanted to do it, I tried to do it, but I made a mess of it. That's okay, because failure can be dealt with, can't it? Jesus on the cross, he deals with our failures. But actually we still need to be saying, this week, I'm going to live for Jesus again. In light of his grace, his goodness, his love for me, I want to live for him. What doesn't work is reading what the Bible says and then thinking, oh, well, I just won't do it. I just won't do it. Are you doing that? Don't do that. It's very dangerous. I've got to be careful on this. We've all got to be careful on this. That when we read the Bible and it challenges us, we don't just think, oh, well, I won't do it. That's dangerous. Because that's hardening your heart to the Bible. That's hardening your heart to God. It's hearing it and going, no. Nah. And when we say no once, it's easier to say no the next time. And again the next time. And the Bible is full of loads of people who are a warning to us, who knew what they should do but never did it. Adam and Eve knew what they should do. They didn't do it, though. Take the warning. Pathfinders, children, take the warning. Adults. We need to take the warning. Now, maybe you've been a Christian many years. I'm looking a bit further back. Maybe you've been a Christian many years. It is easy for us to get into a habit of, when we're reading the Bible, thinking, oh yeah, I've heard this challenge before, and I think I've done it. I think I'm doing it. And it doesn't hit in. It doesn't change us. We never get to a point in the Christian life where we don't need training still. We've got to keep looking at the Bible and saying, what's so what? What's it telling me to stop? What's it telling me to start? Because if we get to a point where we think, ah, I think I've got it all, then basically we're saying, I'm perfect. I'm there. I've achieved it. I've made it. And none of us have. I haven't. You haven't. We all need to keep being trained by the Word of God. So, keep asking, so what? Okay, we've thought about what it takes to get onto Jesus' team. Getting on the team, Jesus has done all the work. He's paid the transfer fee of his life in order to get us onto his team, to purify us, to make us his people. And we thought about getting onto the pitch. Getting onto the pitch means saying, right, now I'm on Jesus' team. I'm going to live for him every day. The order of that is really important, isn't it? We don't try and live for Jesus to get onto his team. No. That's not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus pays the price to get us onto his team. Then being on his team, we're going to get on the pitch and live for Jesus every day. There is no such thing as a Christian that is on the sidelines who's saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to live for Jesus day by day. That doesn't exist. If you're on the team, you're on the pitch. That means this week, living for him. Now, of course, the good news is, as we keep reminding one another, that in going out and living for Jesus this week, it's not quite like a football team where the manager or coach is on the sidelines just shouting advice. God is with us. Day by day, he's in us. He doesn't leave us on our own to go out and do this by ourselves. And that is great news, because we'd never do it by ourselves. So, the question may be, so what? What are we going to do about this? Well, the start is this. I've got to put a prayer up on the screen. We're going to pray this prayer together. So just have a look through it, because it's good to know what you're going to pray before you pray it. So just pop your Bibles down for a moment. Well done. This is our response. I'm going to read it through once, and then we'll pray it together. So the prayer is this. Father God, thank you that Jesus gave himself so I could be on his team. Please help me to live for Jesus, putting into practice what I read in the Bible, because without your help, I will never do it. Okay, we're going to pray that, but only pray that, obviously, if you mean it. So let's pray. Father God, thank you that Jesus gave himself so I could be on his team. Please help me to live for Jesus, putting into practice what I read in the Bible, because without your help, I will never do it. Amen. Great, I'm going to hand back to Colin.